Welcome. Well, you're at home with Jim and Joy, and you are an important part of our EWTN family. And we are delighted that you've welcomed us into your home. We would love to hear from you, so send us an email with a question or a comment to jimandjoy@ewtn.com. Well, we continue to pray for our church during this interregnum time where we are the conclave, where the cardinals are gathering, and we as a people of God need to be praying and interceding for them.
Never get this time back. Mm-hmm. This is the time to intercede and to pray that the selection of the shepherd that the Lord desires, that St. Peter's praying for perhaps, for the renewal of the church and awakening in the world. You will not get this time back. Now is the time to intercede and pray.
Right. And during this month of May, you want to maybe be making special devotions along with the Blessed Mother, who loves our church, and during this time where we are with the conclave happening and cardinals meeting. And so she's a great intercessor alongside of you. So today we're thrilled. We're going to be welcoming the national coordinator and the communications manager for the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA, Our Lady's Blue Army. Her name is Barb Ernster, to our show. Now, Barb, she has written extensively on the Fatima apparitions, and she helps people understand the true devotion to Mary through the three Fatima children. And she's also the editor for the English edition of Sister Lucia's biography, A Pathway Under the Gaze of Mary. And today she's going to be with us to speak about the message of Fatima, the first Saturday devotion, and a great new book that introduces the Fatima message to children called Fatima Friends Adventure Guide. And to learn more about Our Lady's Blue Army, go out and visit their great website, bluearmy.com.
Well, this all seems to be coming together beautifully.
Right.
We're all so concerned. We've been praying through the Holy Father's sickness and now the conclave and who's going to be the next shepherd. And here we're focusing upon the Blessed Virgin Mary, who, like you said, Joy, we can intercede together for this time. And so that's what we're doing. So we're going to be learning more about the Fatima apparition, about those precious children at that time, and what it means for us now. Plenty more to come. We'll be right back. Don't go away.
Welcome back. Well, our guest today is Barb Ernster, and she is the National Coordinator and Communications Manager for the World Apostolate of Fatima, USA. Go out to the great website. It's bluearmy.com. Well, Barb, we're excited to have you, and we want you first to tell our family a little bit about yourself and how you got involved with this beautiful apostolate.
Sure. Well, thank you for having me. It's really fun to be here. You know, it started back in 2007. I was asked to be on the local board of the World Apostolate of Fatima in St. Paul, Minneapolis. And they were trying to do a campaign about Francisco's desire to console Jesus in the Holy Eucharist. Well, I had learned about Fatima as a child, but I didn't know, you know, I hadn't kept up with it. And so I started delving into this idea that you can console God. Mm-hmm. And Francisco was the one who really wiggled into my heart. And I started reading about him, and I couldn't get enough. So I worked for the board in the local division for about 10 years, and then I started helping out on the national level. And that just, you know how Mary, I had mm-hmm. prayed to her, and I said, if you want me to work for you, just tell me what to do. Mm-hmm. Well, don't ever ask for that, because she'll pull you in so far that you won't even, here I am on EWTN.
You'll say, how did I get here?
That's right.
I have no business doing what I'm doing.
Yes.
Well, you were sharing about Francisco. I know you got a special kind of relationship with him. And we were speaking in the green room because I knew one of them could not hear what was being said and only could see Our Lady. And that was him?
Francisco, yes.
And so how did that develop his own character and virtue and yes. unique relationship with Our Lady.
Well, I think the reason Francisco touched me so much is because at that time, Pope John Paul II was really talking about adoration, and adoration chapels were opening up, and it was starting in our parish too. And Francisco couldn't see Our Lady, he couldn't hear her, but he could see her. And some people think, well, you know, what was wrong with Francisco? But he was being called into a life of contemplation. Mm-hmm. So when Mary asked him on May 13th, she was going to bring them to heaven, but Francisco would have to say many rosaries. He was so bedazzled by how beautiful she was. He said, I'll say as many rosaries as the beautiful lady wants. Mm-hmm. And he did. He started saying rosaries to the point that his brother John would run from him when he'd see him coming because he knew he'd want him to pray the rosary. But it pulled him into meditation. Mm-hmm. And then he became so drawn to the Eucharist through the rosary and through contemplation. And so then for much of the rest of his life, he was in front of the adoration chapel, you know, at the church, adoring Jesus in the tabernacle, because Mary just lit a fire in his heart for Jesus in the Eucharist.
Give us a snapshot, or just like in a nutshell, what Fatima is about in your understanding, and what's the focus of it, and what's the essence of it, what we need to know, and you know, and why should it continue? It seems like it's a fairly long time ago.
Well, Our Lady had told the children in June and July. That was when she first started to reveal what this was about. And she said, God wishes to establish in the world devotion to my Immaculate Heart. Those who take up this devotion will be, I promise, their salvation, and they will be loved by God like flowers placed by me to adorn his throne. And so she was inviting the children into this great mystery. At this time, God wants to establish devotion all over the world. And it was a mission that was going to be given to Lucia, who's only 10 years old at the time. Mm-hmm. And she, you know, during the June apparition, she said, am I to stay here alone? And the Blessed Mother says to her, are you suffering a lot? Do not be concerned. I will never forsake you. My Immaculate Heart will be your refuge in the way that will lead you to God. So that's a message for all of us. And that's what Lucia said later as an adult, when she started to understand the message after the apparitions, when it started to unfold. She started to understand this wasn't just for three little children. Mm-hmm. This is for the whole world. And Mary wants a relationship with us, especially during a time when the world was going to go through these horrible wars and the godlessness that sprung from Russia and the development of nuclear wars where we could now destroy ourselves. Mm-hmm. So there's a reason she's coming now, to help draw us into her heart and to be converted and return to God.
Well, tell our family the basis of the first Saturday devotions.
Yes, and that's part of the whole purpose behind the devotion to the Immaculate Heart. And it stems from St. Louis de Montfort's teachings, which were 200 years before the Angel of Peace appeared in 1916. Our Lady said in the July apparition that she would come to ask for the communions of reparation on First Saturday and for the consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart, because at that time, nobody knew that Russia was going to turn in mm-hmm. October that year, and suddenly this Marxist, communist government took over and drove God out of that country. Mm-hmm. And so she said to prevent the errors that would spread from this atheistic communism coming out of Russia, she wanted this First Saturday devotion and this consecration of Russia to her Immaculate Heart. Well, she came then in 1925 after Lucia. She had left Fatima. She had joined the convent in the Sisters of St. Dorothy, mm-hmm. and she was up in Pontevedra, Spain, and she's praying, and then Our Lady appeared to her with the child Jesus, and she said, you know, she showed her Immaculate Heart covered with thorns. Mm. And she said that these were thorns caused by the sins and blasphemies against her Immaculate Heart. And she said, you, at least, Lucia, console me. Mm-hmm. Lucia was willing to console her. And she said, you know, it would console her more if she would announce to the world that if you would do five consecutive First Saturdays where you would go to confession, receive Holy Communion, pray a five-decade rosary, and meditate for 15 minutes with her, keeping her company, and then do it in reparation for these blasphemies. This was the start of Lucia starting to understand the depth of this devotion to the Immaculate Heart. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I was asking you about the confession part of it and when that needed to be done, because sometimes you read it and it just sounds like it has to be done that Saturday, but that's not correct.
Correct. So Lucia, you know, her spiritual director, there's a whole history of how she learned of the devotion. She started bringing it to her confessor and her mother superior, and the confessor said, you know, how could a lot of these people are coming in from the country. You know, mm-hmm. this is back in 1925 in Spain, and they can't come in on Saturday morning for Mass. At that time, they didn't have a Saturday mm-hmm. evening mm-hmm. Mass. Mm-hmm. They can't get there, and so the confessor asked Lucia to ask the Lord about this, and he said, you can go to confession 8 days before or after, and it can be even longer, as long as you're in a state of grace when you receive Holy Communion on mm-hmm. that day. Mm-hmm. And that you remember the next time you go to confession to offer it in reparation for these blasphemies. So the whole point is that you're making reparation.
Yeah. Father Wade, we just watched him, he did a commercial about Fatima. Mm-hmm. He said, what is the message of Fatima? And he said, it's CPR. It's conversion, it's penance, and it's reparation, right? And so that's what we as a people of God, even in the church, we need to be converted
yes.
every day, right? Every single one of us, no matter how far we're walking with the Lord or how long we are, we need conversion. Mm-hmm. Conversion to everything that is good and true and beautiful about the gospel and everything that Jesus teaches and how we need to line up ourselves with God's way, right? And so that's our constant journey. And then we, as a people of God, and then God forbid the world, we grieve God's heart yes. when we sin.
Right.
Our sin, our actions, we grieve God's heart. That saddens. And as a child, you would shudder to think that you could disappoint your parents,
right?
Right? And so you try to say, well, how are you making God feel by your response mm-hmm. to this thing, or your response to your relationship with your husband, or with your children, or with your pastor, or with your church, or mm-hmm. whatever your place is? And so we need to hear that. We right. need to know the innocence of those beautiful children to say, we need to change our ways as a people of God.
Well, and these three children did just that. I mean, they heard the messages. They didn't understand what it meant that Russia would need to be converted. Or they were having these incredibly phenomenal yes. spiritual experiences. The first apparition, Mary appears to them, and she holds out her hands, and the light that radiates from her hands immersed them in God. Mm. That's when Francisco, who couldn't hear, was just taken in by what he was seeing. And he saw God. I mean, he was experiencing God's sadness because of sin. And so I just think when he said, we saw God in that light, we could never explain what it was like. He said, what is God? I think that's one of the most powerful statements from Francisco, who actually had a hard time learning. I think he might have had a learning disability or maybe a little ADHD, but he had a hard time getting his catechism. So here's he's having this experience of God, and all he can say is, what is God? We could never explain it. Mm-hmm. We could never put it into words. Mm-hmm. But they were immersed. So they're having these powerful experiences, and there's nobody there to guide them. Mm-hmm. They're not telling anybody about these, mm-hmm. you know, other than this beautiful lady's appearing. And nobody knew at that time that the angel had appeared to them the year before mm-hmm. and had given them Holy Communion.
Mm-hmm. Powerful.
So it's like, where are they getting, what books are they reading? What spiritual direction are they receiving? And that's the beauty of those three precious children. Yeah. And their ages were 7.
No, there were 6, 8, and 9, you told me earlier.
During when the angel appeared.
When the angel appeared in 7, 9, and 10
yes. mm-hmm.
after that time. So, I mean, they're so incredibly young. And you know, as I was reading the book that you all have mm-hmm. you know, established now, we'll speak about that, you know, probably tomorrow, the Fatima Adventure Guide, which is really powerful, you know, for me. You know, we get back to, unless you humble yourself and become like a child, mm-hmm. you will not inherit the kingdom
right.
of heaven. And just God's love for children, his holy use of them, this is like incredible mm-hmm. what he's sharing here.
Right.
It's a blessing to them, but the presence of the Lord, but the glory of the Lord, glimpsing mm-hmm. hell. So some people say this is like abuse, but mm-hmm. God knows, and Our Lady knew, that blessed are the pure of heart.
Yes.
They'll see God, and that they won't be blown away, that I will keep them, I'm with you. And you also say that, did Mary share with Francisco and Jacinta about their early passing, or did she just share that with Lucia? So, I mean, they're also going to get this word that they're not going to be around very long.
Mm-hmm. Right. They were going to go to heaven. And when they experienced hell, so they saw God in the light mm-hmm. in the May and June apparition. They saw what heaven looked like. They saw themselves. They saw Jacinta and Francisco in the light that was going to heaven. Lucia saw herself in the light that was staying on earth. And the light shone all over the earth, indicating her mission, that she was going to be asked to spread this devotion all over the world. And of course, again, she's 10 years old. So then mm-hmm. in the July apparition, when they experienced hell, and they said they would have died had the Blessed Mother not been with them. And I if I have time, I'd like to share a little story, mm-hmm. just okay. a few minutes. There was a time in my family where we went through a really, really, going through a really difficult time. And I was standing in my living room, and I kind of collapsed on the couch and in exhaustion. And all of a sudden, I felt the Blessed Mother beside me. And I felt like she was saying to me, I'm here to take over. But what I felt was just pure power and authority. Mm-hmm. And I said, if I'm ever standing before the gates of hell, I want that next to me. Mm-hmm. And so I can imagine these kids, when they're seeing hell and they're experiencing it, that her presence was a great comfort mm-hmm. and helped them get through that.
Right.
This brings us back, you know, what you're saying, that kind of assurance, she'll be with you at the hour of death, or if you feel like you're right by hell itself. Now, you've done some work in the whole area of what, the English translation of Sister Lucia's diary?
Yeah, it's her biography.
I'm sorry. Yes. So you really have read that through yes. thoroughly. And what did you find there in terms of the importance of the Saturday devotions?
Well, what Lucia teaches us is how to live a consecration every day. I mean, she had to do it for 88 more years after the apparitions. And there was a time in the 1940s when she felt like her mission was over. Like, why mm-hmm. am I still here? I've done everything. I've written my memoirs. And she was only halfway through it. Mm-hmm. But in that book, I really learned what the Fatima message means, is to get up every day and give yourself to God and align your will with His. Mm-hmm. And through her whole life, she did that. And so in the First Saturday Devotion, she doesn't talk a whole lot about the First Saturday Devotion, but later in life she does. Because as the years were going by and the consecration of Russia wasn't getting done, she was promoting the First Saturday Devotion because she said it could stave off wars. And back in the 1920s, she was, you know, really trying to get the church to approve this. And her first confessor told her to burn everything that she had been told about the mm. First Saturdays, which was interesting. That was 1927. Mm-hmm. But then God sends her another confessor, and he wants her to write it all down. And then he starts to take this seriously, because World War II was coming up on, mm-hmm. you know, going to be there in 10 years. Right. And she was praying that the church would start promoting this because she said it would stave off wars. Mm-hmm. Well, we're constantly in a situation in our world where things are very fragile. Mm-hmm. And she said in 1992, she gave some interviews, and she said to continue to do the First Saturday devotions because it would help us hold the peace. You know, we haven't had a world war since the Second World War. And she said we need to maintain the peace until the full prophetic mission of Fatima plays out. And she said it will take a long time. Mm-hmm. So these First Saturdays are still important, but mostly because they help you attain holiness. And that's what we are supposed to do.
We're going to hold you over for the final mm-hmm. segment. And thank God we have you for tomorrow as well. Pray that you're being really blessed by Our Lady of Fatima, by those precious children that Our Lady and Our Lord called to themselves, revealing so much. And that this way, these devotions should continue for the peace of the whole world. We'll be right back. Plenty more to come. Don't go away. Wrapping up our conversation with Barb Ernster. Barb, it seems like, you know, in terms of the apparition and what you're focusing upon especially are the First Saturday devotions. And why is that?
Well, this December 10th, 2025 will be the 100th anniversary of the request of this devotion. And it's often known as the forgotten message of Fatima. people will say, well, what's Fatima about? We're supposed to pray the rosary every day. But this is really an invitation from the Blessed Mother to enter into relationship with her. And when we do the first Saturdays, again, we're going to confession once a month. We're going to Holy Communion. We're saying a rosary, and we're spending 15 minutes in meditation on the other mysteries of the rosary. So she wants us to contemplate with her. And she says, keep me company for 15 minutes. So when I'm doing that 15 minutes, I ask her to sit next to me. And then I ask her to guide my meditation. And then I ask for favors. I need some favors here. And so it's a relationship that Mary wants to form in our hearts with hers. And I have to just think of Jacinta and Francisco. They talked about the fire that was in their heart that didn't burn them, but caused them to love our Lord and our Lady more and more. That's what she wants to give to all of us.
Beautiful.
And she wants her heart to be a refuge for all of us. She will guide us to heaven, and she will be with us during all those times in our lives that are not going so well.
Thank you so much for being with us.
And
we look forward to tomorrow and unpacking these first five Saturday devotion more fully, and everything about Fatima and these precious children. So join us again tomorrow with Barb Ernster and the message of Fatima. I want to close with a quick prayer. The angel taught the children, "My God, I believe, I adore, I hope, and I love you, and I beg pardon for those who do not believe, who do not adore, who do not hope, and who do not love you. You're an important part of this family. You're never alone. You're always at home with Jim and Joy. Bye now."